Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
When somebody today says, well, you Christians, you know, you're hypocrites because what about the Crusades and what about the Inquisition and what about all of this stuff? You know, all you have to say is, you know, whatever those people claim to be, we know for sure they weren't Christians because Christians don't go out and kill people.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. Join us as Pastor Brian resumes his teaching on John chapter 15, verse 18, through chapter 16, verse 33, in a message titled, Be of Good Cheer. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
You tell a, you know, a self-righteous person, somebody who thinks they're good enough, that, I'm sorry, your righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. And man, that gets people mad. But that's what Jesus represents to people. And it's the Spirit of God, really, that's causing that kind of thing to occur. But again, here Jesus says, I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If you were of the world would love its own. You know, you look at some of the different religious systems and things that have arisen, and you look at the numbers of people that join up for this, and you also look at the general acceptance of the world. And here's the explanation. The world accepts it because it originates in the world. It's part of the system. And so they embrace it. And man, blinded by sin and under the deception of the devil, he just buys anything that comes along for the most part. Remember the word that I said? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. Now, of course, here the context, going back to the original statements, the context is, it's a Jewish context, you know. And the astounding thing is that Jesus is the Messiah of Israel. He's come to actually save the Jewish people, but they are the ones who hated him. And that, again, is another one of those great mysteries of iniquity. But he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. So the very fact that Jesus came and all that he said and all that he did, it actually added to their culpability. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. That is so heavy, because remember, Jesus is talking about the men who are the religious leaders of the nation. He's talking about the men who everybody looks up to, thinking, they're our leaders. They're our teachers. They're the ones that we're supposed to follow. They're the disciples of Moses. They're the ones that know God. And Jesus said, those are the ones that actually hate me. And not only do they hate me, but they hate my Father. The very religious leaders were actually God haters. That's a frightening prospect, isn't it? To have those that are supposed to be leading, the reality is they're leading the opposition against God. But that was the case. They were filled with hatred for the very God they claimed to be serving and following. And their hatred was evidenced in their hatred for the Son and their rejection of the Son. And again, we see this very thing today. There are those who are in positions of spiritual leadership and authority, and masses of people are looking to them for leadership and thinking, these are our leaders, and these people love God, and we need to listen to what they say, and they're following God, so we're going to follow them. You better stop and check and make sure they are following God. Make sure they do love God. Because this is how people are led astray. By not looking at the situation themselves. You know, so many people have been and are still today, they are very content to have somebody else do their religion for them. You know, when I was growing up and grew up in Roman Catholicism, you know, we were all happy to let the priest do the religious thing for us. That was their job. They took care of all that. We just get the benefit in the end. We're going to make it to heaven because they're working hard over at the church to make sure that that happens for us. And, you know, we were really trusting our souls with somebody else. But that was the mistake, because the Bible teaches that every person individually is accountable to God. And that every person needs to go personally and individually and directly to God through the one mediator, Jesus Christ. And I've got to make sure that I'm right with God myself. I can't expect somebody else to do it for me. I can't depend on somebody else to do it for me. The fact of the matter is, nobody can do it for me. It's a personal transaction between myself and God through the one mediator, his Son, Jesus. Jesus went on to say, but this happened, this hatred of me. It happened that the word might be fulfilled, which was written in their own law. They hated me without a cause. This was a fulfillment of prophecy. And this is a quotation from Psalm 69. They hated me without a cause. And that's, again, the story today. The hatred for Jesus Christ today, it's without a cause. There's no justifiable cause. There's no valid reason for the hostility that anyone expresses or feels toward Jesus Christ. It's rooted in the sin issue, like I said earlier. But when the Helper comes, now here we are once again. Jesus brings us back to the Holy Spirit. And remember that throughout this portion, part of the instruction that Jesus is giving has to do with the Holy Spirit. He's already talked about the fact that the Spirit is going to come. He's going to, remember, he said back in chapter 14, the Spirit is with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to teach you all things. Bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. And now here once again, the Helper, when he comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. So this is the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit, is to testify to Jesus. And of course, through the apostles, a lot of that testimony was through the miraculous power. And those miraculous things that they did as they went out and preached the gospel, those things were a testimony to Jesus. They were preaching in the name of Jesus, and people were being touched miraculously in the name of Jesus. And so everything was pointing back to his Messiahship. And so he reminds them that that will happen when the Helper comes. But notice he refers to him as the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. The Spirit of truth. When the Holy Spirit is working, truth is prevailing. Wherever there's deceit, wherever there's falsehood, wherever there's false doctrine, then you can know this. The Holy Spirit is not active. The Holy Spirit isn't present working in that kind of a situation, because he is, by very definition, he is the Spirit of truth, testifying of Jesus. But then he said to them, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. So he's telling them about what's coming in the future. Now remember, at this point, they're still not really sure about what the future does hold. And he's bringing them now to that place where he's going to just put it forth in very plain language to them, the fact that he is going away. He says, these things I have spoken to you that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers service to God. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. So Jesus is warning them in advance of the things that will happen. They're going to be put out of the synagogues, which is exactly what happened to them. There would be those that would rise up and persecute them and actually kill them and think they were doing service to God. And who is the great illustration of this truth that Jesus told them would be Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. Because you remember, that's exactly what he was doing. He was thinking he was doing God a service as he was persecuting the Christians. And you remember, he went all throughout Jerusalem wreaking havoc on the church and casting the people into prison and casting the vote against those who were being put to death. And then he says that in his passion, in his zeal, he went to the high priest to get permission because he heard in Damascus there's a group of people meeting, worshiping Jesus. So he says to the high priest, send me there to get them, to arrest them, to bring them back, and we'll cast them into prison. And the high priest said, go, get them. Gave them letters and sent him off. But you know the story. It was on the road to Damascus that Saul of Tarsus was met by Jesus. That light shining brighter than the sun in the middle of the day, and that voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. But he thought he was doing God service. He thought he was doing God a favor because he thought these men were truly blasphemers. He thought they were heretics. He thought they were very dangerous. But why did he think that? Jesus answered the question, because they didn't know me or the Father. You see, that's the thing. They really didn't know God. But they had all of the outward appearance of knowing God. It is a fact of history that much of the persecution against believers has often been led by those who claim to be believers themselves. Much of the persecution. And here in the early days, it was these Jews who certainly considered themselves believers. They were the ones that were persecuting the early church. Later on, as we move on in history, what you find is the established church ends up being the main persecutor of the true followers of Jesus within the society. Whenever people reject the established church and all the politics and everything else that's come into it and say, no, we want to just follow the Lord, we want to follow his word, we want a pure and a simple faith, they were then persecuted. And it was the system. It was the church. You've heard about the Inquisition, no doubt. And when people refer to the Inquisition, they generally are implying that the Inquisition is this horrific thing that Christians did to non-Christians. And in the Spanish Inquisition, the Jews did, many of them suffer severely, and Muslims also suffered under the Spanish Inquisition. But what most people don't realize, or what, if they know, they don't tell you, is that the Inquisition began as a persecution against Bible-believing Christians by the established church. That's what the Inquisition originally was. It was an effort to root out heretics from the church, and heretics were people who believed the Bible and took the Bible literally and wanted to follow Jesus simply without adhering to the Pope or to, you know, the powers that be that had established themselves. And the Inquisition was carried on by those who thought they were doing God a favor. In the Reformation period in England, a very well-known English statesman, Sir Thomas More, when I used to live in London, I would go into the center of London every Sunday morning by way of the River Thames, and I would pass Sir Thomas More's Catholic Church right there on the left. There was a nice statue out there of Sir Thomas More. And he was a man who was a devout Catholic. But he was also a man who fiercely persecuted the Reformers. He had them imprisoned. He personally flogged them, beat them, tried to get them to renounce their simple biblical faith. But all the while, he thought he was serving God. Bring it up to the situation today, and you find that this kind of thing still goes on. The greatest opposition to the spreading of the gospel in South America for a long time has been the Roman Church. The greatest persecutors of Bible believers have been the leaders of the Roman Church in South America. They see as the greatest threat the little missionaries walking around with their Bibles. Those are the ones we got to watch out for. Those are the ones we've got to, you know, make sure that. And they've oftentimes persecuted. And it hasn't just, I'm not on a Catholic bash tonight, it hasn't just been Catholics doing it. Protestants have had their fair share of persecuting people as well, so I just want to be accurate and fair. But you see, it's, what does it all come down to? It all comes down to this. Jesus said they do this because they don't know me or the Father. And you know, when somebody today says, well, you Christians, you know, you're hypocrites, because what about the Crusades, and what about the Inquisition, and what about all of this stuff? You know, all you have to say is, you know, whatever those people claim to be, we know for sure they weren't Christians, because Christians don't go out and kill people. Christians don't force you to convert or lop off your head. Now, if people did that, and they did, in the name of Christ, you can just know that they were not actual believers in Jesus Christ. Because those who believe in Jesus, they love their enemies. They do good. They bless. They pray. Those are the marks. Now, these things, Jesus says here in verse 4, I have told you that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. So he's now giving them this understanding that they had not previously had. Now, he goes on and he says, but now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But now I go away to him who sent me. So here Jesus is going to, he's going to lay it all out before them. Now, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. You see, to these men, the worst possible thing would be for Jesus to go away. What do you mean you're going away? You see, they had the typical, and understandably, they had the typical Jewish perspective of the Messiah. He would come and he would set up an everlasting kingdom. He's the son of David. He's going to sit on the throne of David and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And now Jesus is talking about going away. What is he talking about going away? And so you can imagine how they would have been confused, to say the least, and grieved and probably also frightened. What do you mean you're going away? We've put all of our trust in you. We put all of our confidence in you. We've left everything behind because you told us to do that. And now you tell us you're going away? But he says, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, at this point, they couldn't even conceive of such a thing. How could it possibly be to our advantage that you're going away? But it was, because he said, if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. You see, that's the whole thing. Jesus had to go away in order for the Holy Spirit to come. Because the Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus. And as long as Jesus was here performing his ministry, the Holy Spirit would not be poured out. And so he says to them, it's to your advantage. It's necessary I go. Now, again, you know, we could all identify, put ourselves in their shoes, and you could see how this would be so confusing and so troubling. But there are these little words of hope here. There must be something good here. Jesus says it's better. The Helper, he's going to come to you. And remember, again, the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said earlier, I will send you another helper. Remember that Greek word another means one of the same kind. So Jesus, really what he's saying with the Holy Spirit, in a sense, this is a way we can understand it. What Jesus is basically promising them through the coming of the Holy Spirit is a multiplication of himself a million times over, however many times he would need to be multiplied to be in the life of each individual believer. But you see, in his present bodily form, of course, that was an impossibility. So he had to go away in order for us today to be filled with the Spirit. And not just us here, but you know, people all over the world are filled with the Spirit. And we're experiencing Jesus. People all over the world are experiencing Jesus. But if Jesus had not gone back to the Father, the only people that would be experiencing Jesus are the people that would be sitting around him wherever he happened to be located at the time. But you see, through the ascension and through the coming of the Spirit, it opened the door for all of God's people to have that simultaneous encounter with him through the person of the Holy Spirit.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee. Do you desire greater understanding of the Word of God? And do you want your life to reflect that greater understanding? Then this comprehensive, easy-to-use guide will help you explore biblical doctrine and explain complex theology in everyday language. It addresses biblical teaching on issues such as authenticity of the Bible, the purpose of mankind, the nature of angels, the fall of Satan, and virtually every major doctrine in Scripture. This is an excellent resource to open up Scripture as never before. The book Doctrine for Difficult Days, Important Theology Made Simple by J. Vernon McGee is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-800-800. 833-6443. And don't forget to visit backtobasicsradio.com, where you can sign up for Pastor Brian's free daily email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of John. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.